obviously, in that gospel reading, when Jesus was telling his disciples that not a hair on their head would perish, they were all very young at that time, I'm sure. You may remember as a child sort of being told maybe when things were not working out quite your way and you're a little downtrodden, you probably heard the words, "Don't worry, it's not the end of the world, life goes on." You know, I can remember being told that when I was a child, and I can certainly remember telling our two daughters when they were very young that those very same words in sort of a tough love type of expression. Well, now that Catherine and I have four grandchildren, we just let them do whatever it is that they want to do, and then we give them back to their parents. But in our gospel reading this morning, it, of course, was taken from chapter 21 of Luke's gospel. And as you may know, chapter 21 is perhaps one of the most controversial chapters in all of the gospels. Because chapter 21 deals with Jesus expressing signs that will occur in sort of an end of time scenario. And Jesus also gives expressions of signs of what will be his coming again, and sort of a second coming. Now, we only read about half of chapter 21 in that gospel reading. I invite you to read the entirety of chapter 21 or reread it for yourself again. Please don't do that right now. But maybe later on this afternoon when you're watching the Texan game and maybe they're not playing up to speed and are going to lose, read chapter 21. And so as our gospel began at verse 5, Jesus and his disciples, they're in Jerusalem. They have made it to Jerusalem together. And they're walking along admiring the majesty of the temple and how all the stones were laid and dedicated to God. And as they were looking at all of this, you probably know that the temple was one of the known wonders of the world in its time. And as they're admiring the majesty of the temple, it was so important to them because the Jews, of course, believed as long as the temple existed, God presided with them. God resided in the temple. And as they're taking in this important moment, you remember they were all mostly Galileans, so making it to Jerusalem was a big trip for them. Jesus, then, he just rocks their world. And he said to them, in effect, "Do you see all this beautiful stuff here? One day it's going to all come tumbling down and be destroyed." Now imagine what the disciples must have thought when Jesus said that. Wow, Jesus, are you kidding us? When is this going to happen? And in verse 7, what will be the sign that this is about to take place? Now imagine what was going on in the disciples' heads. Because if the temple was destroyed, where would be their relationship to the Lord God Almighty? This would have to be the end of the world. And then Jesus responds in sort of a tough love type of response. When this happens, it will not be the end of the world, but life will go on. But then he also says something that's very important for us to understand. He said, in effect, when this happens, this will mark the beginning of the end. It's not the end of the world. Life will go on, but this marks the beginning of the end. And Jesus reaffirms this in verse 9 of our gospel reading. He said, "Do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And of course, 40 years later, after Jesus said that, in the year 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. The Romans had finally had it with everyone, and they just leveled Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. As horrific as all of that was, God was continuing to work. Because when the temple was destroyed, this actually led to the rise of Christianity and the spread of Christianity as we know it today. Remember, all the first Christians were Jews. Even Jesus was a Jew. But now their worship to God would not be located in one particular place, but worldwide. As God is the God of spirit and truth. And St. Cuthbert, as we exist today, we are an outpouring of this important movement. Because now we spiritually exist in the biblical time period that it's not the end of the world, but the beginning of the end. And this is why all the New Testament writers understood this with belief and understanding as they wrote the rest of the New Testament. It is written with this type of style and understanding, as Scripture is to be read, marked, learned, and inwardly digested to hold fast to the hope of everlasting life. Because it's not the end of the world yet. Life goes on. And so today, as followers of Jesus Christ, we live out our faith with this same intention and purpose. That Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will what? He's going to come again. This is the period that we live under. And today, on this Gratitude Sunday, when shortly I'll invite you all to come forward to put your gratitude card, your pledge card, in one of these three baskets up front to offer your gift in joy for how God has blessed you, to proportionally give a gift of thanksgiving to God that's used for the mission and purpose of our church. We bring forth these gifts not necessarily because this is what we always do this time of year, because we have to set our budget for next year. We don't bring our pledge cards forward because, you know, we're just morally good people of means. And, you know, all this stuff, there's an expense to everything that we do here. No, we bring forward our gifts to God. And we make a statement of faith in that pledge of our time and our talents and today of our treasure to the best ability of our faith. Because we desire with a purpose to contribute to the ongoing work of our church in this world, to the mission of Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. Because we live in the actual period that Christ will come again. And what might that be like for us? Christ could come riding in on a cloud, as the rest of chapter 21 details, marking the end of the world as we know it. Christ may come as we step forward in faith and receive his spiritual presence upon our hearts in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Christ may come as you interact with the person sitting next to you in this worship service today. Christ may come as we interact in all of the ministries of our church, as we participate in all the ongoing Bible studies and fellowship groups, some that meet outside of our church, but we're all a part of the umbrella of St. Cuthbert. Christ may come as we step out periodically as we do to feed the homeless downtown. Or Christ may come as we work to assist people in our immediate needs through Cyprus Assistant Ministries. And Christ may come as we just feel that Holy Spirit prompting and offer a special invitation to that person God puts in front of us who's seeking a church home and invite them to come to church with us. All of this and more is why it is so important to contribute to the ongoing needs and purpose of our mission here at St. Cuthbert, because Christ is counting on us. Because we live in a world where St. Cuthbert can be a beacon of hope. We live in a world that Jesus reminded us of all the false messiahs that are around us. You know, greed, addictions, people seeking power in various different ways that degrade humanity. And the list just goes on. This is the world we live in. But Jesus reminds us, as we remain a beacon of hope in verse 9, do not be terrified. Because we live in the period that marks the beginning of the end. What that means is we don't live in fear. We live in faith. And faith with an intention and a purpose for our mission in Jesus Christ. To build the kingdom of God together. One testimony of faith at a time. And this gratitude card, this pledge card, it's like our testimony of faith to contribute to the ongoing mission of our church. Because our faith tells us it's not the end of the world. Life goes on. Eternal life in Jesus Christ. So we give because we are blessed to be able to give. As we collectively share our faith and expressions of faith of thankfulness to God that reach out to the world around us. And what we do as our mission becomes our blessing to God in thankfulness and praise and joy. Amen.